We now come to the final psalm of the Book of Psalms. We don't actually know who wrote it, but it is the great climax doxology to the entire Book of Psalms. The struggles and the darkness and the battles we have seen in the early part of the book and all over, as we come to this end, there are joyous songs and triumphant hopes and soaring faith. And we remember that the Book of Psalms opened with the idea that the blessed man was one who walked in the ways of the Word of God and not in the ways of the wicked. We come to this psalm, that decision pays off big time. It's very fitting that the Book of Psalms ends with a challenge for everything that has breath to praise the Lord. The reason why it's fitting is because this is ultimately the way it will be. In the end, everything will praise God. So in this final psalm, the writer calls on all people, all sacred instruments to offer praise to God, and everything with breath has been designed for this objective, to praise God. The unfortunate thing is that very few things with breath do offer real praise to God. So there'll come a day when everything with breath will praise God, and those who are godly offer praise to God now. Praising God and worshiping God is something we need to think very seriously about doing. And from verse 1, we noticed two names for God, Jehovah, which is Lord, and Elohim, God. These two names indicate God is the sovereign God of the covenant, and God is the sovereign God of creation. And God is the sovereign I am, who can do and does do whatever he desires to do. Plural noun God, Elohim, clearly implies that God is a trinity. Now, praise is acceptable to God, except that which is willing to acknowledge who he is. He's the sovereign God, and he is comprised of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No one can praise and worship God until one acknowledges that. So we see these final parts here, the call to praise God from different locations. Look at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. So there's two locations that are specifically admonished to praise the Lord. God's to be praised in his sanctuary. For Israel, that means to praise God in the temple. Obviously, the temple is rebuilt, and Jesus Christ is reigning as king in the temple. For those of us living in this time, it means to praise God in the church. It speaks of corporate praise. Certainly one of the features of the new temple will one day sit in Jerusalem, will be a place that offers praise to God. And all will know that this special sanctuary is a place of worship and praise to God. Spurgeon said, in God's church below and in God's courts above, God is to be praised. And then God is to be praised in his mighty expanse. God not only is to be praised in his sanctuary, but in all his creation. We don't even know what all the expanse of God really is. We're on earth and we look up into heaven and to the space beyond, and there are living beings in those areas. And we look and we realize that there's angels and all of these that are out there. And one day God will be praised not only from earth and from the sanctuary, but from the highest places, from all places. A time when the entire universe will praise God. And then there's a call to praise God for these different reasons. Look at verse 2. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. God is to be praised because of his mighty deeds. God does not specify the mighty deeds he's done, but certainly one of the most amazing will be what he did for Israel and making our nation stand out for him and his glory. But the truth is, every mighty thing we know about God is to cause us to praise God. Mountains and oceans and weather and sun, moon, stars, life, all the mighty acts of God's for which he should be praised. And then salvation of souls and powerful judgments against nation for all the things for which he should be praised. And there's these mighty things that God has done in divine creation and divine preservation and divine redemption. And God is to be praised because of his majestic goodness. He's at a mega majestic level in his greatness, and he's to be praised. There's nothing about God that isn't great. His high and holy view of God promotes a reverence for God that is being lost, and God is excellent in everything. And then there's the call to praise God with different instruments. Look at verses 3 through 5. Praise him with trumpet sound, and praise him with lute and harp, and praise him with tambourine and dance, and praise him with strings and pipe, and praise him with sounding cymbals, and praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Text that's important to see in regard to this is 1 Chronicles 25:1-7. It's obvious that there were skilled musicians. It's obvious that their music was specific for the purpose of revealing prophetic truth. And Martin Luther believed that next to preaching and teaching the Word of God, God's music was essential to church life for the purpose of uplifting people and driving away the enemy. In order for music to do this, it has to be accurate. And so we see the different things. He'll be praised by trumpets, that horn that makes a clear, sharp sound, and he'll be praised by harps, an instrument of 10 or 12 strings played by the fingers. God will be praised by lyres, something with less strings that gives a harp sound. And then God will be praised by timbrel, a round wooden instrument covered with a membrane that contains brass bells and the equivalent of a tambourine. God will be praised by stringed instruments, instruments that feature harp strings but apparently not harps. And then God will be praised by pipe instruments, and it's an instrument that's comprised of many pipes. And then God will be praised by cymbals, a tinkling and clinking instrument that one strikes together by using their arms. One biblical scholar observes that different countries have different instruments. Clement said the ancient inhabitants of Etruria used the trumpet, and the Arcadians the whistle, and the Sicilians the pectit, and the Cretans the harp, and the Thracians the cornet, and the Lacedaemonians the pipe, and the Egyptians the drums, and the Arabians the cymbal. That's the case, and not only are different instruments used to praise God, but different people from different backgrounds and cultures. Verse 4, we learn there'll be a joyous praise of dancing. And this will be something that we can rest in, the excitement of that. And then the call to praise God by all living things, as it was in the last verse of the book of Psalms. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everything will praise God. This will be, as one writer said, a universal burst of praise. Everything that has breath will praise God. Truth is the very breath that any living thing has, comes from God and should praise God. And one commentator said, there's nothing more glorious or brief in this entire book of Psalms than this one simple verse.